I'm looking at Colossians chapter 4 today, verses 7 to 18, calling this the mindset of unity. I don't know if you've heard of this one, but there's a story of a man who got stranded on an island. After many years of being there alone, somebody finally showed up. The man who arrived asked the man who lived there if he would show him around. The man who just arrived noticed three structures. He said, "Tell me about these buildings." "Oh, that's my home." He says, "That's my church." He says, "Oh." He says, "Then what's that building?" He says, "That's the church I used to go to." Seems like we can't even sometimes get along with ourselves, right? I would venture to say that one of the greatest battles facing the church today is the battle of true unity. Sparks fly when you talk about this. To grow up into Christ takes, let me put it this way, specific instructions. The epistles are those specific instructions for the church, the body of Christ. And in this final portion of Scripture, I've made some observations. Hopefully I'll be able to pass them on to you. But listen to how the apostle speaks in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. He says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So what you evaluate as the church are things that have been brought forth in Scripture. Specifically concerning the church, the Apostle Paul gave precise instruction of how the church is to grow up and to become a mature man. That is the goal. Without that happening, we get into a mess, because now it's like, well, we'll mix this and we'll mix that. We recognize all the Scripture is the Word of God. It's an unfolding revelation. But when it comes to the time frame that you and I are living in today, we are living in what's called the church age. This is God's doing. And Dennis has been sharing some of that too in the adult Sunday school. And I want to talk about the importance of this mindset of unity. And just before we read Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18, these are final words by the Apostle Paul. You will notice that at the most of the apostles wrapping up chapters, and again, Paul wasn't writing number 16, verse 1. Those were later added. But as Paul, under God's direction by the Holy Spirit, gave him the very words to write down, and it would include things that were happening at that time in those locations, specifically things that were coming into the church, Paul would often end the letters with greetings or encouragements or people to thank or people to simply say, "These people are my partners." In Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, he says, "Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart." The word here is consolation. There are times in our lives that it is the word of God that's going to bring us consolation. And God is going to use somebody to bring you a word of consolation that's based in the Scripture. "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear with him witness that he has a great zeal for you. and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, in Nymphis, and the church that is in his house. Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to your ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Amen. Wow. There's so much here in these last, what we have, 11-ish verses of Colossians chapter 4. We start at the beginning of 2019 in the book of Colossians. Hopefully a few things have stood out. There are four prison epistles. Hopefully you could identify what they are. In other words, Paul is writing under house arrest, and he writes the letter to the Ephesians, to the Colossians, to the Philippians, and to Philemon. He actually mentions in these closing words here, Onesimus, as Paul appealed to Philemon to receive him back as a brother, because Onesimus did some pretty bad stuff to Philemon, but Paul leads him to Christ in jail, and now he sends him back, and he says he's a faithful brother. Wow! It's like when we had the Teen Challenge guys here a few weeks ago. It's like, it's just amazing. It is utterly amazing what the grace of God, when it gets a hold of the heart of a human being, can change them. Because the old is gone, right? The new is come. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. But now we have to know how to rightly build up that new person in Christ. And that's what Paul's heartbeat is. Forget what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Paul would say that to the Philippians. But he says here, back early in Philippians, he says, just think of the apostle. Okay, you and I, we think of a bad circumstance as, oh, this is such an interruption to my life. This is such an interruption. It could come in many ways. It could come in bankruptcy. It could come in all types of things. It could come in illness. It could come through cancer. It could come through your own misdeed that you wish you hadn't done. Sometimes God uses our messes, and I believe what Paul's here, Paul is being faithful to Jesus Christ, and because of his faithfulness, he's still suffering the consequences of that. And Paul knew, because Jesus spoke to him, I'm going to show him what he will suffer for my namesake. So Paul is simply carrying out the ministry, but he also embraces with full responsibility what is in front of him. But he says this in Philippians chapter 1. The ladies are studying through Philippians. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So often I think we need to see any change in circumstances in our life as an opportunity to, hey, I'm going to press into this because God may want to do something greater. He might want to, instead of me trying to push this away and just wishing it go away, and we can certainly be in prayer. We are praying for people in this church. We're praying for healing. We're praying, but maybe God wants to use that as a letter writing time for you, or a note writing time, or a Scott, I have to tell you, your wife sent us a very encouraging note from our visit, and she didn't realize how when we came to bless her and encourage her, her note, as she wrote back to us, how that feeds and encourages the body. I know people are getting anniversary and birthday cards by someone in this church, and I know people have said to me, thanks for the card. I'm like, well, I can say you're welcome, but I didn't really send it, you know. But in other words, there are times where we don't realize the things that no one sees, the times in our life that we might be saying, how could I be using this time in my life? Do you realize, and we're going to see it here, the ministry of prayer that can come, that is a valuable ministry, to be praying for this church, to be praying for your pastor, to be praying for your family, to be praying for your leadership, to be praying that God will continue to give us favor in these days, these dark days. And it is an easy day to retreat. There's a A lot of reason that people would want to, you know, it's just too controversial to be a Christian. I raise my flag and I'm immediately persecuted. I mean, that's the stuff. I mean, you say you're a Christian, suddenly you're aligned with Mike Pence, right? I mean, there's just no discernment out there. People don't care. But if you name the name of Jesus Christ and you assign, if you name his name today and you say he is the only way, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him, it's like, you know, you're a target, okay? Number one, you're a target of Satan. Satan wants to discourage you, and I believe that's primarily how Satan wants to use things in our life to silence us, to shut us up, not to move forward because it might just be too hard. And I do believe, and as I talked about last Sunday on Mother's Day, about the need for wisdom. You and I need wisdom today. We need wisdom to when we are to open our mouth. Every moment is not just the moment to open your mouth. Paul says, pray for us that we have a great opportunity, you know, that I will have boldness when I speak. So not every time that you might see something right in front of you, is that the time to open up your mouth? That may be the time to pray, or it may be time to plant a seed, and it may be time to speak boldly. So just saying, sometimes we just need to know the timing of God in our lives, so that we're not just running off at the mouth, because God wants to use us. He wants people to know him. I love when I hear a credible offer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a very winsome, a clear way, non-manipulative, where I hear, you know what? If I was a person lost right now, I would pray that I would have heard that message through that voice or that person, and I would respond. That's the hope that I have as a pastor in this church, no matter who I talk to. I pray for open doors. I pray that as God uses us in these days, whether it's our landlord or it's the neighbors in this building or whatever we're doing as part of the life of this church, that we would be effective, that we would respect relationships, but we're unashamed to uphold this wonderful grace that God has poured out for us on that cross. Jesus says that, or I believe it's in Acts chapter 4, there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. It's Jesus. So, and I believe that's what Paul's, he knows this, but he's also a wise master builder, so he's careful, but he takes these prison opportunities and he uses them to use them for the expansion of the gospel. So God can use our difficult circumstances to expand the gospel through our lives. In Acts 28, wonderful history of the early church and how the church was formed, how it moved towards a primarily Jewish emphasis in the beginning of Acts, and by the end, the gospel is now, as Jesus said, would be going out into the Gentile world, as he instructed the Apostle Paul. Paul was tasked to reach the Gentile world with the very words that Jesus Christ gave to him and how to build his church. Jesus announces in Matthew 16, I will build my church. But Jesus at that moment doesn't give the specific instructions. He does that through the beloved Apostle Paul. And that's why Paul can fight and he can help you and I succeed in these days. We are living in probably some of the most exciting yet dark days, I believe, at least for America. This is a dark day for our country. I mean, I've seen the stuff and this debate on human life and the origin of human life. And if it's in a woman's body, she has the right to do whatever she wants. You know, she can kill that heartbeat too, you know. And so it's just the all-out deception that is all around us today. And the church has to learn how to righteously stand for the things that really are, that belong to God and belong to us as his children. So anyway, I'm going to keep going here. He says here, I'm going to keep going anyway. So if we're to become good students of the Word of God, we will notice things like, what is the thrust of an epistle? Can you nail down in your own experience, hey, I actually understand why the book of Philippians was written. I understand why the book of Colossians was written. I understand why Paul writes a letter to Philemon. I understand why there's a letter to the Romans. Like, could you sum up? And this is becoming a well-trained Bible student so that we can do that. And we are trying to do that in some ways here in this church through our different Bible studies and giving you an appreciation and an opportunity to grow in Christ so that you're not just feeling like, I don't get it. Do you ever, like, well, I don't get it. Do you ever see that response in people? Usually you do that in a math class. I don't get it, you know. God wants you to get it. because you can get it, because he says all these things belong to you. And then you want to go in there, you want to dig them up, and you want to discover them like gold. Like, oh my goodness, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. It's all mine. Jesus wants to make it known to us. But if we don't think and pray and ask the Lord and learn to compare Scripture with Scripture, these are things that sometimes will just escape us. And then we sometimes feel like, I'm just a stinky Christian. Well, that's not going to help you, okay? You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, but you got to learn how to conquer. That's why some of these wonderful Old Testament stories have said, like Joshua and Daniel and others, and how they conquered and they learned to walk with God and trust him. These guys learned. The Bible even says that Jesus learned the Scriptures. Jesus was taught the Scriptures. Yes, fully God, fully man. But he put himself in the same predicament that we are, the need to know and to learn. And that's why, as he's sharing at 12 years old, they're like, this is crazy. How does this guy know? How does this young man know so much? Well, he was well taught. He was well instructed. And he took time and he learned. Jesus learned how to spend time with his Father. You and I can learn to spend time in the Scripture. So we should know and we should see how Paul agonized for the church. He talks about that. There was a great agony. Do you realize as you see these wrap-up words by the apostle, there's an agony here. Go, you know, I want to encourage you to make sure that you do this. Sometimes you say, hey, before winter comes, bring me the parchments. You know, Paul saw every day that he lived as an opportunity versus just, oh, whatever will be, will be. God's going to work it all out in the end. God wants to use us as part of this day so that when we stand before him at the wonderful judgment seat of Christ, he can say, you got it. Welcome to your reward ceremony, or lack thereof. God is faithful. He wants to not only save us, he wants to prepare us for works of service. The Bible says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. These are the works that God wants to do through us by his Spirit. And many believers, and that's what we've been arguing for in this particular letter, is that many believers get moved away from their hope in Christ. The believer is secure, but the believer has to protect that. It's easy to get off. It's easy for something to come into your life, whether you fell into it or something went wrong in your life or my life. And it's like, there are times in my life where I say, I am so weak. I still need to be fortified every day. There are times where I think, I got this one licked. It might be a relationship challenge. Oh, I'm never going to have to deal with that one again. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? And sometimes just learning to shut my mouth or not say something and be moved by the Spirit and to speak accordingly. Paul says, only speak a word that's for edification. If that word about to come out of your mouth isn't going to be edifying, doesn't mean that it can't be a word that might need to be shared, because I know a lot of people are very good at having a ready response. And I'm not saying don't speak. But if the natural inclination that comes out is tit for tat, that can be very destructive. And we want to be careful. We want to make sure that what my words are doing are accomplishing something good. Just saying, I still run into that battle at times and want to make sure there are times I get myself alone in a room and I say, I'm glad I didn't blow that one. Do you ever feel that way? I'm glad I didn't blow that one. It doesn't matter. See, because Christ, in many ways, we have to remember, he took. You know, what does Peter say? He says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you with gentleness and respect. Because there's going to come times in our life we're not going to be liked, or we might feel that we're being inappropriately judged or criticized. And those are the things that if you think you're already something, can mess with you, and you say, well, the best thing to do at that moment, if you can't say something good, don't say it. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him to know. And if there is a response, he'll give you the right response, but not just that fleshy response that can come out of all of us. The closing words of the majority of Paul's epistles emphasize a mindset of unity. You can clearly see that in this set of scriptures. With those who served with him, and these are all in the back of your bulletin, Those who serve with the apostle are united in purpose, they're united in partnership, and they're united in prayer. And there are times where there are people who Paul was serving with, and they left him. And there are times you're going to see in the scripture, he calls that person out. It's not to change for us either. And we, as you look in this idea that Paul's talking about this united in purpose, verse 7 through 9, he says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you about the news about me. In other words, many scholars believe that Paul actually never was even in Colossae, but he helped get this church established. And then from his time being incarcerated or away from ability to be out there and about, he wrote these letters because he had faithful people that he could trust. Remember what he told to Timothy? And he says, entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul's all about faithfulness to what God showed him, and he wants that built up so that we're all speaking the same things, that there's not confusion here. The battle today, I believe, in the church is one of confusion. And I believe at Grace Lighthouse Fellowship that we're simply trying to fight for clarity that is going to make every believer who comes into this place and gets connected to this ministry able to know, how do I deal with sin within? How do I deal when I've blown it? How do I deal with understanding the things that God has said for Israel and difference for the church? How do these things work together so that we understand these things, so that we're not trying to be something we're not, and we're certainly not, we're not taken off of our focus every time something comes into our life that might try to mess with us. These letters are letters to fortify the believer's thinking. And that's what Paul basically is saying here. He's saying, listen, I'm going to get an update from Tychicus, okay? And so he's going to give me a report on how you guys are doing, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart. Some of the greatest ministry that's ever happened in my life are people who know how to comfort me. And some people, you know, you just believe that God has placed this ministry in them. When you feel like, oh, they're just going to tell me how bad I failed, they have a good word for me. And do you see the power in that? Versus, yeah, you know, you really did blow it. Okay, we might all agree it really was something that you shouldn't have done. But anyway, I know there are people directly in this ministry today. If it wasn't for the encouragement that they received in the time of their greatest difficulty, they might not even be walking with God today. I know that firsthand. And that's, I believe, the sign of a fruitful ministry, a ministry that says, you know what? We're not better than you, but we've got in on this, and God has given us specific instructions of how to overcome this old man that Christ came to free us from. See, Jesus knows ultimately the mess that we're in. And guess what? When he took you on, he knew what he was taking on. And you can't pretend it. You can't pretend. And that's what happens to so much, I think, people come into Christ and they have high expectation for their own progress. What did Peter say? I will serve you to the end. Even if all of these deny you, I will not. Right? How many of us have acted like that or said that way? And one week later, it's, I just denied Christ. I just said something I shouldn't have said. And then you walk away and you're licking your wounds, and maybe Satan starts rubbing you and throwing some stuff in your face, and maybe you see some history in your life that just shows up again. And maybe you just feel like, I'm a loser. But see, the being built up in your most holy faith is knowing how to keep yourself encouraged in the Word of God, because there's a lot of stuff that's going to try to take you and me off of our firm foundation in Jesus. This is very sacred ground, and we want to protect that. As if that cross is behind us, every single move we make is as that cross is reminding me that I'm in him. I've been cleansed. I've been washed. The blood of Jesus Christ has taken away all my sin, and I need to learn by the strength and the help of God through his word and by his spirit that I would grow up into all things and be the mature person. And that's what he's saying to Tychicus. He's trusting this guy. He says that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. He's got a word for you guys. I know, because I've heard already that there are people who come in, and this is Gnostic teaching. Some theologians will argue that this is Gnostic teaching. This is just false teachers trying to take the Christian off of their hope. That's always the case. And they mix law, and they mix some experience. They say you're not really saved unless you're doing this. And that now you got to go try to manufacture something instead of just simply trusting in the finished work that Jesus did for you. That's this wonderful gospel message. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jesus levels the playing field, and he makes it so possible for us to grow in grace. But we want to fight for that, because there are many adversaries, there are many enemies. Some of them still are working within us. Some of them are working without. And then we learn to grow, and we learn to walk with the Lord. So he says, and he also refers to Onesimus here in verse 9, a faithful and beloved brother. Who's one of you? Yeah, this guy robbed from his slave, from his owner, from Philemon. But Paul says, you know what Paul says to him? This is pretty cool. If you read the book of Philemon, he says, by the way, I want you to receive him back. You owe me your very soul. In other words, I led you to Christ. You receive him back as a brother. You receive him back. You take him back. This is how, if you get to know the Bible, you get to see the grace of God in full 1080. It's clarified. It's high def. But you've got to work. You've got to put your mind into these scriptures. And then you... And that's why I just feel like it's such a privilege to me to get to do this, even though at times I'm stumbling and I know it, and I'm, you know, but trying to do the best that I can through the strength of the Lord. Grateful for this opportunity. Thankful for the partners that God has given to us in this ministry. I get some great people in this church. I just love you all. I want to get to know you better, though. And I want this to be something that we're growing together. We're like-minded. We're united in purpose. And he says here in verses 10 and 11 about Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. If you know anything about Barnabas, he was on one of Paul's missionary journeys, and he said, I'm out of here. It's just too hard. I'm going. And at one point, it creates a division, and Paul says, I can't use him. I can't use him. But at one point, Paul understood that he was still of use. John Mark just perhaps was immature. That's why we have to be very careful with putting immature believers into responsibilities that they could collapse and fail, and they feel like, what I just described over the last few minutes is, you know, you feel like you failed the Lord, and I have had moments in my early Christian life I failed the Lord. At least I felt that way, and yet, but guess who was kept whispering and encouraging me? It was the Holy Spirit that continued to encourage me to keep going, and that I wouldn't give up the fight. Even though I still at times say, you know what? Dennis reminded me of this one. A preacher says, I've thrown the towel into God many times, and God's thrown it right back at me. So that's the way we are, and we're going to want to quit at times. Sometimes it just feels tiring, especially I think as the pressures increase in this world. And I look at the world and I say, it's not getting any better. If anything, the divide is greater politically than I have ever seen in my entire life. I cannot read one single news story without looking at a threat of hatred, either in one side or the other. And this is the day that we're living in. However, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, right? But in the meantime, I want to be effective here, and I want to know how to navigate these rocky roads. And you're going to need some faithful people in your life. And I believe the healthiest place to find that is the local church. What God is doing in this church, through helping people with financial problems, helping people with an autism struggle, with helping people through Bible studies. I mean, you name it. We're doing it. We're trying to do it. We're trying to offer. We're not just trying to be, we're not saying we are better, but we are trying to say we're willing to take opportunities so that we would maximize our effectiveness here in this church. So he says, I think this is interesting here, where Paul says in verse 11, and Jesus, I'm thinking, certainly not talking about the Lord Jesus, he's talking about a fellow servant of his name, Jesus. It was a common word. It was actually probably the more accurate translation is Joshua. Common word in those days. Common name, I should say. And he says, these are my fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. So these were Jewish believers. These are people who were raised in Judaism and they've come to faith. And it was in the Jewish mindset to understand the kingdom of God. So in the Jewish mindset, they're still thinking about the coming kingdom. You think about how, early in the book of Acts, where it's Peter who says, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom? The expectation in the Jewish mindset is that there's a kingdom coming. Now, they rejected their king first time. When Jesus comes next, they're going to acknowledge him. And they're going to look upon him whom they pierced. And they're going to realize that they missed it as a nation. But God's going to save many Jews. And right at this very moment, so take heart. You may look at the Jewish nation and you say, is there any hope for them? Guess what? If they look to the Lord today, they're saved. If they understand what Jesus did for them, they're saved. He is the only way. It's never going to change. He's coming, guaranteed. And I'm looking forward over the next few weeks to talk about how to have a ready mindset in this world as we think about future things. I'm just so excited about building this church for that very purpose, that we want to see, when you got your mind on a goal, guess what what was going through my son's brain yesterday? He wanted to get a gold medal. It didn't really matter how hard it was. We're like, Aaron, run. It's like, you're killing me. But he's like, he loved that podium moment. He loved getting the gold, and it was great to see this happen. And I think so often in our lives, we have to keep our true motivation on the future in this world. It doesn't matter what we're going through. It may feel ugly, obnoxious, and difficult, and we're tired of it. And yet, as you keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, who loved you, died for you, and promised he's coming again for you. And if you breathe your last breath today on planet Earth, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can't get any better than that. You have the best hope. We have it. He says, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God. See how discerning Paul is here? There are times where I think we run into, because somebody just names the name of Christ, that we think, I've had people come into this church and say, God sent me here to help you, right? So like 2 weeks later, I say, well, can you do this, this, and this? And, oh, I don't want to do that. I'm like, okay, all right. So much for the sending factor. So, you know, and I love that. I like to think that, you know, God's bringing people here, and I love that. And we want to create an atmosphere that people can come in here and serve and love the Lord and grow in the ministries. Sometimes ministry can feel just a little bit like work, to be honest with you. I felt like we were on a family missions trip this past week. I mean, how many stairs did I walk up and down with a box? I'm like, okay. And it's got one destination, a big box outside called my wife's parents, which were very fitting. The names, so you've heard of these things called pods, right? Everyone calls them pods. My wife's parents, the name on the side of the box said Pack Rat. I'm like, it seems like we're packing a little bit too much here. But there was joy, even in that work, just being there together as a family and kind of seeing the goal. See, the goal is often the motivator for the believer. The goal for you, believer, this morning is the judgment seat of Christ. Because when you're there, it's like, it doesn't matter. God sees all your faithful service to him. Whether it's, if I can put it this way, wiping a child's butt, and doing something that you feel like no one sees, but you're doing it out of love, or you're doing something just in, because you do this out of love, because you care for somebody who can't care for themselves, or you take the time to be with somebody just because it's the right thing to do. Do you know that God sees that? Jesus says, as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Wow. It's awesome. There's nothing wasted with Jesus. Nothing's wasted with him. And he says here about Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. See the goal here of the believer. The goal for the believer is that you would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. There is a way to grow in completeness as a Christian. It doesn't have to be haphazard. It doesn't have to be just trying to be the super disciple. If you are going to be a super disciple for Jesus Christ, you have to understand how God wants that to happen through his word. And I believe specifically in the time that you and I live in right now, this thing that God's doing called building of his church, Jew, Gentile, anybody who places their faith in Christ has a specific set of instructions to follow that God says, I will help you. And if you mix those things up, and that's what you see in a lot of the epistles, things were getting mixed up, trying to turn something on their head. Paul's like, let's keep this thing simple, and then let's build upon it. Let's build. He says, I'm a wise master builder. I love that. There's order here. Do all things in decency and in order, says the scripture. Because we want everything. I always say, I like everything that we do here at this church to be good and inviting. I love it. I love for things to be done well. But I have to also sometimes just back off and say, you know what? You guys take this. You do this. And I'm really trying to do that. And I appreciate all the help that we get from time to time here. I truly do. Anyway, so he says, so part of praying as a church is that we're praying together for the completeness of the body, the completeness as we're growing together. He says, for I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those who are in Hierapolis. These were cities nearby Colossae. And obviously the early church was forming, and these were somewhat fragile. These churches were fragile. Yeah, Paul came into the Galatian church. He says, who's moved you away? You know, I wish they'd go all the way. These people who are claiming you got to get back into circumcision. You've fallen from grace in one sense. You've taken yourself out of the realm that's going to best help you grow. Because now you're trying to perfect in the flesh what God did through the Spirit. You're trying to make yourself something that God already says, this is you. But a time frame has to be, a time frame is sort of at work here, that the full version of what we will be is going to come when the rapture happens. When we see him, the scripture says, we will be like him. If we leave this life today and we go to be with Christ, we are in the presence of God forever, free from sin. And that's a hallelujah. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician in Demas, greet you. Some of the commentators say about Demas, in one point at the end of Paul's second letter to Timothy, he says, Demas has forsaken me and has loved this present world. So that should be a warning to us too, because there are times in my Christian life where I hear somebody's they don't even want to have anything to do with God. And they were once in the same church. It's sad. And so there are consequences to departure. Ultimately, God knows truly. The scripture says God knows those who are his. So we want to make sure that if we feel that weakness of being drawn away or being lured back into the world system, is that we have to say, you know what, there's nothing. Remember what Jesus, the disciples said to Jesus, like there were all these hard sayings, you know, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And many left. And I think Jesus looks at his disciples and says, you guys going too? Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. So kind of see yourself as God's backed you into a corner and he wants you to keep looking at Jesus, and he says, with me, you will get there. With me, I will lead you all the way. If you want to forsake and go to this present world system, good luck, basically. And I say that lovingly and urging you not to believe that option is good. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis in the church that is in the house. So in other words, this guy is caring about other churches that have been formed, and I think that's the pastor's heart. A pastor's heart really should be concerned for every believer. But the only flock that I really have a responsibility to is this church. I don't know what's going on at Church of the Pines, and I don't know what's going on at the Evangelical Brethren Church. I don't know what's going on at Bay Community Church. These people are not under my direct care. God's given me a church to manage, and it's this one. If he ever gives me another one to manage, then it will be that one. But right now, he's given me this church to manage, and it's the flock that's under my care, and it's who I will give an account for. But this, just think of this. This is how Scripture, God wants us to view Scripture in these closing words. He says, now when this epistle's read among you, See that it's read also in the church of the Laodiceans. In other words, this is a circular letter. This is scripture and it's going around. This scripture continues to go around even today to Grace Lighthouse Fellowship because it's the word of God. That you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, which many believe that is the book of Ephesians. So these are circular letters. These were prison epistles. And he says that, which, he says, take heed, and he says to this archiepiscop, when I had my ordination service here 4 years ago, Bruce Jones came. Bruce has been a pastor in my life for many years, was our former pastor at First Baptist Church in Duxbury, and he gave me a pretty strong charge. And he took it out of the book of Acts, and he says, do the work of a minister, do the full work of God. Don't shrink back from that. There are times in this church I say, that's a tough one. I'm not sure how to handle this. But God, I need wisdom, and you're going to show me how to do that. And I'm going to trust you to push through that for your glory. And so that if it's an awkward situation, I'm going to do to the best that God has given me to do that unto him. This salutation, Paul says, by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. We will not grow apart from grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor that came into our lives through Jesus Christ, and by when his grace is operating in the life of a local church, it allows us to bump into each other, speak into each other, love each other, have fun with each other, but also, you know what? Our destination ultimately is with Christ, and I want to get there safely with you. Isn't that awesome? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your lovely word, encouraging us to keep fighting through the Spirit's help, that we would not give up. We thank you for Paul's clear instructions of how to recognize scriptural authority in our lives and to continue that road, Lord, that you have set for us as a people, and how we truly, in these days especially, really want to serve you well out of a loving heart for what Christ has done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your amazing love. We praise you for your kindness to us. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for the folks that you've brought into this place. We pray that you'll continue to bring more in, Lord, for your glory, that the work of God would continue in this place as we share Jesus with the lost world. Thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.